it may seem redundant. Hopefully it's not, but it may seem redundant every year to look at some of the same things. And it never ceases to amaze me what God will bring out in the Word of God. Even in when we preach maybe out of a text that we preached out of before, or preach on a certain individual that we preached on before, but even in reading through the Word of God, it never ceases to amaze me. Something the Holy Spirit brings out that He teaches you, or maybe something that you needed at that particular time that you've known before, but now you really need it. So it's emphasized in an extra special way, and I love it how the Holy Spirit does that. The Bible says in Hebrews, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. That's what the word quick means. And it's always alive. It's never dry. It's never dull. If we get to the place where we think that it's redundant or dry or dull, the problem's not with the Bible. The problem's with me. Amen? With us. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. I love the story of Simeon, and I have preached out of this before, but I think the Lord's brought some things, at least to my attention, I'm looking forward to tonight. So let's read Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and if you're willing and able to, stand with me in honor of God's word. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And we're not going to spend some time talking about that. We'll reference it briefly as we get into the message, but here's where we're going to focus. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea," he's quoting scripture, "yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." What a story. What a little character in the Bible. We don't have a whole lot of verses assigned to him in the Word of God. Just really right here. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a pastor. But there's a lot that can be applied here tonight. So we're going to look at Simeon here tonight. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, I ask that you'd help me. You'd guide and direct. Lord, you'd be pleased through everything that's said and done. Lord, I don't know what the needs are here tonight. I couldn't meet them if I knew what they were. So we just want to rely on the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to speak to our hearts and to be quick and powerful, and let your word would not return void. As a promise, it never will. But Lord, you would work in our hearts. And I pray you'd be pleased then in how we respond to your word. And that's really a very crucial point for us, is that not only would we hear the word, but that we'd be doers of it. So Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight, Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much. You can be seated. Here's what the Bible does say about Simeon in verse 25. It says there was a man. He was just a man. And we know that he was elderly. He was toward the end of his life, because after he was able to see Christ, he expressed that he was ready for to die. He could die happy now. And we know that he was waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled. And God granted Simeon his desire. What was his desire? To see the Christ child. You look at verse 26. It says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost." What an amazing thing that this would happen. But it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he was living these last few days kind of hanging on to life for one purpose: to see the Lord's Christ, to see this promise that God made to him be fulfilled before he would die. And Simeon had a privilege so many would not have. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 13, 17 that many people desired to see what the disciples were allowed to see, but they missed it. And he said in Matthew 13, 17, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them." He's letting them know, you've got a privilege that many of the prophets were anticipating, were looking towards. They don't get to see what you get to see. David wrote about his desire to see the horn of salvation. He was referring to that. Job would write about his living Redeemer. Job would not see him, but he believed in him. He knew that his Redeemer liveth. Malachi wrote about the Son of Righteousness. Hey, we're saved by grace through faith. Amen? We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is very clear in the Word of God. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. If I could work my way to heaven or earn my way to heaven or buy my way into heaven, then why did Jesus waste his time and die on the cross for my sins if I can get there on my own? And if I can keep my salvation based on my works, then what's the point of the Holy Spirit of promise? What's the point of being sealed by the Holy Spirit of redemption? Why is it called everlasting life if I can lose it? So we know we're saved by grace through faith. But in the Old Testament, they were also saved by faith. See, they looked forward to the coming Messiah. We look back. And they had faith, as I just read some verses there about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And obviously not everyone, just like today, not everyone is saved. And many would write about Jesus. Many would have a desire to see Jesus in the flesh, but they did not have that privilege. Simeon did. Simeon was given a promise and God fulfilled his promise. Now, why would God do that for Simeon? I mean, this right here is all we have and all we know about him. We don't know a whole lot more about him. He was in the temple. He had a promise from God. He was able to see the Lord's Christ. He was able to give exaltation to Mary and Joseph, and then he was ready to depart this world. Why would God do that for him? And I'm going to notice a few things that I don't think it's possible to preach about the life of Simeon without noticing a couple of things that maybe you're already aware of. But it says here that he was a just man. The Bible says in verse 25, it says that he was just a man, but it also says that he was a just man. I have a feeling that was one of the reasons he was able to see Christ, the Christ child. God thought it important to bring up the fact that he was just and that he was devout and toward God and devoted to God. The word just means righteous also. God blessed the just. God blesses the just and God blesses the righteous. No, God blesses you, Christian, when you're living right, when you're doing right, God promises blessings. And we have examples of that through the Word of God. Think about Noah, Genesis chapter 6. Turn there if you would, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Or you can mark it down if you don't think you can turn there fast enough. But Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says this: "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." While the world had turned against God, there was only one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6 verse 9 says that Noah was just and perfect in his generations, and it says that he walked with God. Society being wicked, society being evil, was not an excuse for Noah. There was still opportunity for mankind to be just and righteous. And in chapter 7 in verse 1, it says, and the Lord, right there in Genesis 7, 1, the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now, I'm not belittling the fact that it is hard. We have clearly in the Word of God verses like the Spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. These are contrary, the one to this, that you cannot do the things that you would. There's a battle going on in our spiritual lives, isn't there? We talked a couple of weeks ago out of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, and how Paul said that he has a struggle. And the things that he would do, he finds that he's not doing, and the things that he would not do, he finds that he's doing. Paul, the greatest missionary ever to live, also said he was the chiefest of sinners. Paul, somebody who we would look to as an example, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. He struggled with sin. Doesn't mean he lost his salvation. Doesn't mean that he was saved and now he's not, but then when he got right, he's saved again, but then he started sinning and now he's not saved. And that would be kind of an unfair God, wouldn't it? Oh, you're saved. Here's your salvation. Oh, you sinned. Let me take it away. Oh, you're doing good again. Here's your salvation. Oh, you messed up. Let me take it away. That's not our God. He doesn't give and take our salvation. But he struggled with sin, just like you and I do. Yet we find here Simeon was just and devout, and we find in Genesis that Noah was righteous. Noah was just. It doesn't mean sinless. That's not what the word means. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. But he sinned. He committed adultery and murder. Yet he sinned. But he was a man after God's own heart, meaning that once he realized his sin condition, he got it right. But I'm so glad. I'm going to give you some statements tonight that they're simple. They're not profound. They're not. I know they're not. But something to sink in that we need to remember. God blesses those who are righteous or living right. Yes. I mean, we were in Psalms on Wednesday nights, and we talked about the right way and the wrong way. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the God, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth the scornful. Blessed is that man. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth meditate day and night. I want God's blessings. You want God's blessings tonight? Say amen. I want God's blessings. God blesses those who are righteous. You need God's blessings at school? He blesses those who are righteous. You want God's blessings at work? He blesses those who are righteous. You need God's blessings in your family? He blesses those who are righteous. Striving to live for him and serve him. It doesn't mean sinless, but it's not excusing your sin either. Simeon was given a promise. We find that he was just. He did what was right. He believed Christ would come. He believed the Old Testament prophecies. And the Holy Spirit of God was upon him, it says. This is before Jesus said to his disciples many years later that he's going to send the Comforter. It says the Holy Spirit was upon this man and gave him the promise that he would not see death before he sees the Lord's Christ. Let me say this. Also, not only does God bless those who are righteous, but God knows how to bless his children. He knows how. He knows how to judge his children as well, and he knows what will get to us the fastest. When you're in a trial, there's something that he wants to teach you in the trial. When you realize you're in a trial, listen, very quickly look to God and receive whatever lesson you need to learn, because once you've received it, then you can come out of the trial. But you're in the trial for a purpose, so receive that purpose. And when you receive that purpose, then he has plans for you to come out of that trial, possibly. As a result, you're stronger on the other side. So God blesses those who are righteous. God knows how to bless his children. God does not allow his children to go through trials without a purpose. That's a blessing, amen? God knows exactly what it takes to get our attention. Go to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37 in your Bibles. God knows exactly what it takes to get your attention. What do you do to get your kids' attention when they're not paying attention? Don't answer out loud. Hey, listen up. Maybe you're more calm than I am. And you just repeat the same thing again the same way. Congratulations. I don't do that. If it didn't work the first time, it's not going to work the second time or the 15th time. Personally, I just take whatever's closest nearby and I just throw it at my kid. No, I'm kidding. I don't. Don't do that. My wife does that to me, but I don't do that to my kids. God knows what it takes to get your attention. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Blessings. What did Psalm 1 say? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It says, blessed is that man. Verse 3, Psalm 37, verse 3, though, says this. Trust in the Lord. Trust. Maybe you should circle that or highlight that or underline. Trust in the Lord. And do good. Do good. That which is just. That which is righteous. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fled, thou shalt be fed. Blessings as a result of what's right. See, these verses are promises of God, but the promises of God here are to those that trust in God and do good. And then, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he shall give us the desires of our heart. My walk, my talk, my relationship with God affects my desire. The more I'm with God, the more time I spend with God, the more I desire the things that please God. And then as that continues, I begin to desire that which is right. And I begin to desire that which God desires. And then God gives me those desires that I have. Look at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. There's some prerequisites. Commit and trust. Verse 25 of the same chapter says, I have been young, now I am old, yet have I not seen the what? Righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God takes care of the just. God takes care of the righteous. I'm talking to Christians tonight, okay? We don't do good to get saved, we do good because we're saved. Okay? And as Christians, we've got to remember that we still have the propensity to sin. But God blesses us when we choose what's right. Something amazing about God, though, is this. He's a God of mercy and grace. I talked about it this morning. And even though I sin, I still find he's blessing me. And just when I realize that truth, sometimes I fall on my knees. Sometimes I'm just broken, overwhelmed about it. God, why would you be so good to me? I don't deserve it. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your mercy. But that's what grace and mercy is all about. If it was deserved, then it wouldn't be called grace and mercy. I don't deserve it. God gave Simeon a special blessing back in our text, back in Luke chapter 2. It was something that he had a desire to see. He was just. He was righteous. God gave him a promise. He fulfilled it. And it says he was devout. To be devout means to be devoted. It means to give oneself wholly to something. And he was devoted to being all that God wanted him to be. He was devoted to being led by the Holy Spirit. And it says in Luke 2:26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. If he had not been sensitive to God, if he had not been aware of God, if he had not been devoted to walking with God in his life, he would not have been led by the Holy Spirit, and he would not have received this promise from God. He wouldn't even been in the right place at the right time. But he was, because he was yielded to the Holy Spirit, and he wanted to do those things which please God. See, when you are where you're supposed to be, you're going to receive from God what you're supposed to have, and what you get are blessings. David, when it was a time for kings to go out to battle, David was not where he was supposed to be. Because he was not where he was supposed to be, he was not doing what he was supposed to do. And because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, he was doing what he wasn't supposed to do. Wow, rocket science. No, just think about it. When you're where you're supposed to be, then you're not where you're not supposed to be. Man, I'm so glad I came to church Sunday night. This is amazing. Yet, we end up facing the repercussions of what happens when we're not where we're supposed to be. And we wonder, why is all this going on in my life? Well, if you would have been over here, if you would have been living right, if you've been doing right, you would have received the blessings of God and not the judgment of God. Again, the right way and the wrong way. Blessed is man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, but blessed is man who his delight is in the law of the Lord. And if my delight's in the law of the Lord, my delight's in the word of God, I'm going to be faithful to those things that God wants me to be faithful to. This is why I believe it's so important to be in church. Why, Pastor, do you think it's so important to be in church when the doors are open? Because it's God's house. It's the bride of Christ. He gave his life for it. That's why. Because, simply put, and I'm just a simple guy, if it matters to God, it should matter to me. So, does it matter to you? He was devout. He was devoted to being all that God wanted him to be. He was devoted to being led by the Holy Spirit. And if he had not been sensitive to God, he would not have received this promise from God. But because he was yielded to the Holy Spirit, he would understand that God had something amazing for him. And then he followed God. Verse 27, look at verse 27, Luke chapter 2, says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. It means that the Spirit led him. And I made a mistake when I typed these notes out a while back. And my mistake was that in Luke chapter 2, verse 27, when it says he came by the Spirit, that's a capital S. And when I type my notes out, I typed it out in a lowercase s, into the temple. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, God emphasizes that in the Word of God for the purpose of us understanding it was God that led him. And I love that, because if he would not have been in the temple, he would not have been there when Christ came into the temple. If he would not have been led by the Holy Spirit and gone in the temple at that time, at that place, remember when I said this morning when we talked about prayer, God answers in the right way, in his timing. And his timetable is different than ours. And Simeon followed the Spirit into the temple at that specific time, at that specific place. And he would not have been there if he wasn't following when Christ came in. He would not have received the blessing God wanted him to receive. Simeon was just, righteous, and he was devoted. He followed. Faithfulness follows. Following leads to a place. Following God always leads to the place of blessings. It might be a place of trial, but if it's where God wants you to be, it's where you need to be, and there are blessings in store. He was led by the Spirit. He came into the temple at the very same time that Joseph and Mary brought Jesus into the temple. Look at verse 28, Luke chapter 2. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, This was a precious moment for Simeon. All of God's promises are precious. If we don't know of his promises, we can't claim his promises. If we don't know the word of God, we can't claim the word of God. But if we know his promises and we understand then that we meet the conditions for his promises, then we can experience his promises. Well, how can I meet the conditions of his promises? If this is, we sang about blessings tonight. We didn't coordinate that. It's just how it worked out. But we sang about count your many blessings. The windows of heaven are open. And if I want to position, if this is where God's blessings flow, if this is where they come, I've got to position myself for his blessings. And when you do that, well, what are the conditions? Well, from what I learned about Simeon, he was a just man. Blessed because of that. He was righteous. Blessed because of that. He was devoted. Blessed because of that. And he followed the Lord when the Lord led. He was blessed because of that. Those seem to be the conditions of blessings. Do you meet those conditions? Look at your life. Do you meet those conditions? Are you living right? Are you leading your family to live right? Those things that please God. There's blessings in pleasing God. This is a challenge for all of us. I remember at the beginning of the message, I said I am not belittling the struggle. Paul talked about the struggle. But we can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can live for him. Second Peter chapter 1, if you would in your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 4, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great. Great's great. It's a lot. But he puts an extra emphasis on it. Exceeding great. Better than you can imagine. And precious promises. All of God's promises are precious. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If I'm going to escape the corruption that is in this world, then I need all that God has for me. Do we really understand what God has for us, though? I don't think that we do. Exceeding great and precious promises beyond all that we could ask or think. God has it so much better for you than you even want. Think about that. He desires more for you than you even desire. Simeon claimed the promise that he was not going to die until he would see the Christ child. He claimed it. This is a promise the Holy Spirit's given me. I claim this promise. He anticipated that. Every day he woke up thinking this might be the day. This might be the day. How many days? I don't know, but he clearly expected it. And the day came. The desires of his heart were met. He rejoiced in the Savior. Listen, Christian, this might be the day the Lord returns. This might be the day. This might be the hour. But are we living in anticipation of it? If I was living in anticipation of Christ's return, then when I see somebody, I might tell them about Christ. If I was living in anticipation of the Lord's return, then I would be a little more conscientious about how I'm living my life and whether my life is pleasing God or not. This could be the day, but do you wake up every morning with that anticipation? This could see. Simeon woke up understanding this might be the day that Jesus comes. But we need to wake up every morning saying, this might be the day that Jesus comes again. And it could be. Simeon had lived justly, righteously, devotedly. He followed. He experienced the promises and blessings of God. Verse 29 says that he experienced peace. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. You know, this is something the Bible has a lot to say about. The world can't give you the peace that only God can give. There's a peace when you're in God's will. There's something, it just feels right when you're in God's will. There's a peace in God's presence. There's a peace concerning the trial, whatever it might be. And that peace is this: I'm going to make it through this trial, or God has purpose in this trial, or I have rest even in this trial. There's a peace in the promise that God will not put anything on me that He cannot handle. I'm never alone. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. There is a peace that comes as a result. How do you get that? Go to Romans 5:1. If you would, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by what? Being justified by what? Faith. You're not justified by your works. You're not justified by baptism. You're not justified by doing good things. It says right there, and many other places, our salvation is by faith. You're justified by faith. As a result of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get that peace? Well, first of all, you need to be saved. See, unless you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, unless you've called upon Him, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Unless that's you, it means you're dead in your trespasses and sins and you don't have peace with God. You don't know God. He doesn't acknowledge you as one of His own. You're dead in your sins. You're separated from God. But you can be saved. You can be saved. Amen? And if you've been saved, when you were saved, you received the peace with God through Jesus Christ. Then Philippians 4:7. Turn there if you would. Philippians 4:7. Love this. Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. That means as a whole, he's writing to believers. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God," not the peace with, but "the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." See, as a Christian, the peace of God is needed as I live. Peace is nice, isn't it? And if you're saved, you have peace with God. And there should not be a day that goes by that we don't have the peace of God. I need to have that. And what does that mean? It means that you can look to God, Christian, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulation, and find the peace of God. How can I have that? Well, because I have positioned myself for God's blessings, and because while I'm going through the trial and going through the difficulty, my desire is to live justly and righteously, to follow God, to claim His promises, then I'm going to receive then a peace that passes all understanding. That it's hard to explain. And you can't articulate why. But it's kind of like when David's child was dying, he fasted and prayed. He wouldn't eat. His servants were worried about him, and he fasted and prayed. And when the child finally died, it was clear he had peace about it. He accepted it, and he was strengthened. And because he knew that he was at that point, finally, within God's will, and that God knew what he was doing. And there is a peace that comes when you know God knows what He's doing. Thus, Simeon was able to have peace. Humanism doesn't give you peace that passeth understanding. Psychology doesn't give you peace that passeth understanding. Secular therapy does not give you peace that passeth understanding. Secular counseling will not give you peace that passeth understanding. That's only found through Jesus Christ. That's only found in Him alone. I believe in counseling, but I believe in biblical counseling. If it doesn't include Christ, it doesn't include the Word of God, it's not going to give you peace that passeth understanding. Go to the Word of God. Let the Word of God counsel you on how you can have peace in your life. It's the peace of God. And Simeon had peace. He had the peace of God even to face death. He knew God. God knew him. He knew God had blessings for him. And now that he received what God had for him, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go on to glory. And God gave him peace to face death with. Philippians 1:21 says this, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm ready. Knocking on the doors the other day. We talked this morning about one guy who, well, his theology was all messed up, but there's another person I talked to, and talking about heaven and asking the question, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Her answer was this, oh, I'm ready. We went further in the conversation. She was ready. She's saved. But she goes, I'm ready. And I'm excited. She was elderly. I can't wait. I can't wait. But she said, I'm still here. God still has purpose for me. But I can't wait. I love him. Love him. It was such an encouragement to be in a presence of somebody who understood that. And Simeon, in preparing to die, he had peace. But in our world today, in preparing to die, how many are still trying to make money? How many would give every dime they had to live? How many would do anything they could to continue living, to stay young, to somehow stop getting old? People are spending millions. Our world is spending millions, perhaps billions in that. Gold, silver, worldly recognition means very little when facing death. And if you have peace with God and the peace of God, you can have the peace to face eternity. And you can know for sure that God has it under control. Simeon said, I'm ready to go. Having peace with this life, ready to go on to the next. Simeon said these words, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant. Just a side note here. Don't quit until God tells you that it's over. I've said this before, but sometimes people of old age will think this, and even some of us who are younger will watch people and we might get this idea, why does God allow them to continue to live? The thing is, God knows much more than we do. God understands how that one life can affect as many people as God wants it to affect. And who knows who's going to be touched by that life. And we've got to let God determine life and death. And Simeon didn't wonder what his life was worth. He just gave his life to God and God used it. And I'm just saying, give your life to the Lord. Let God use you. Look at verse 30. We're going to shut it down here. Look at verse 30. Luke chapter 2. This we've talked about before, but I think it's worth bringing out again. See, Joseph and Mary received some confirmation here that I'm sure they needed. From time to time in their lives, they weren't perfect for sure. Maybe they faced moments of questions or doubt or difficulty. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 30, it says, Simeon said, he said in verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. But then he goes on, and Mary and Joseph are hearing him say all these words. And they heard him say these words in verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those sayings which were spoken of. Simeon's faith affected Joseph and Mary. I know that they each heard from the angel. I know that they each saw or heard directly what God's plan was before Christ was born. I understand that, but there would be moments where it would be difficult in their lives and hard. And here's the child, the baby, and this was just one more confirmation for Mary and Joseph. They've already experienced a whole lot, and they didn't know who was in the temple. God had already prepared the situation. They were just obedient, like Simeon was, and Simeon says, "Mine eyes have seen the Christ." And all because God orchestrated, Simeon's faith affected Joseph and Mary. They're watching him, and he's just praising God, and they're witnessing his praise, and they marveled. And God does things like that, things that you know it only came from God. And that's how God works. If we're looking to God, if we are aware of God, and we're looking to live righteously, if we're looking to live devotedly, and we're looking to follow God, if your desire is to please God, God will bless. And they received a huge blessing. Huge blessing. Simeon addressed Mary, and in verse 34, God used Simeon to prepare Mary for the sorrow that she would face one day. And maybe at first they wondered what's going on with what Simeon's saying here, but he blessed them, verse 34, and said unto Mary's mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." And here's the sign that he quoted scripture here, verse 35, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And Joseph, at the end of Christ's life, we don't know that, we don't have any indication that he was around. The Bible doesn't tell us any mention, but we know that Mary was. God, knowing ahead of time these things, leads Simeon to address Mary and prepare her for things that would be hard. But I imagine that when Mary was going through those hard times, watching her son die 33 years later for the sins of mankind, could it be that the Holy Spirit would say to her, "Do you remember what Simeon said? This is all part of God's plan. Don't lose faith." And maybe Mary had a peace that passes all understanding, even when she saw her own son being crucified on the cross. What kind of blessing does God have in store for you? The thing is, his desires for you are greater than your own desires for yourself. He has future blessings in store for you here on this earth and much more after the rapture. But God desires to give you the desires of his heart. What he is looking for in you is that you'll be just, you'll be devout, you'll be faithful, and you'll follow as he leads. And if you focus on what he can do, then you position yourself. You can have the blessings that brought the peace of God to Simeon, a little known Bible character with a great message for us to learn. The problem is when we think we can live the way we want and then expect his blessings, it's not going to work that way. But when you live right, God's promises are available. When you live just, his peace is available, his purpose. Their head bowed, everybody close this time. God in heaven, Lord, I don't know how you use this in somebody's life tonight, but may we respond how you'd have us to. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We just